gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. A voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Father, come into our midst with power and might to transform us into the image of Christ through the preaching, hearing, and application of your word. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Now please be seated. This brief text from Mark's gospel gives us the extraordinary picture and image of Jesus's baptism and heaven being open, the Holy Spirit coming down upon him, and him hearing God's voice. It's a glorious event. And I hope in your Christian lives you have imagined it, wondered what it would be like to experience. And I hope that you have had times in your life where it seems like the heavens are open unto you and God is pouring out his grace and his blessings, that the Spirit is present with you, moving in your life, that you're hearing God's voice through the Word, through his Spirit with you, through other people, and all is going wonderfully in your life. If you haven't experienced those, I encourage you to pursue God for them, that heaven would be open, his Spirit come into your life, that you would hear his voice. Jesus even said that those who belong to God hear God's voice. Since I've been in Savannah beginning December 1st, and your rector, I've been the recipient of so many prayers, so much hospitality, so much blessing, that it seems like I've been experiencing this grace of the kingdom of heaven being with me and God's Spirit moving in my midst and hearing God's word from others. I've been so blessed to participate in Bible studies and in home groups and in prayer groups. The prayer groups on Friday and Saturday mornings have been a wonderful blessing. To be in the midst of the staff and the leaders and the congregation of this church, it seems like that I've just been in the midst of what Jesus experienced in his baptism. One of the things I've enjoyed is a men's Monday morning Bible study at the Coffee Deli. And one of the people who's been coming to that I've gotten to know well is John Clements, a retired dentist. And he's a super Christian man. I've really enjoyed getting to know him. And he's a dentist, and while I've enjoyed getting to know him, I don't enjoy going to the dentist. And that has been the exception to what I just described. In 2019, November, when my father passed away, I came home and immediately had to have a root canal. It was horrible. All the things you hear, like, the only thing worse than this is a root canal, or I'd rather have a root canal than something really horrible, it's true. No offense to dentists. And to John in particular. So then I had to have another crown. So I had two crowns on the back bottom of my teeth within the last year or so. And in the last month, they've both cracked. I mean, no explanation. They cracked. And yesterday, eating pizza, soft pizza, the temporary crown cracked. The only consolation was that was probably the best pizza I've had from Hop Atomica. Wow. So when the second crown cracked about a week ago, I thought, what the heck? And I thought, who can I blame for this? The devil? Well, he's not in my mouth. The dentist? Can't do anything about that. Me? I just ate some cereal. There was no one to blame. There's no consolation in that. And I started immediately thinking all the problems of that. The annoyance, the time, the money. And my inclination would be to get very angry and possibly throw something. But I went for a walk that morning, and as I was going over all the consequences of this, something struck me. It was a verse from Paul's letter to Romans, one that you've probably heard and seen different places. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And I was challenged as I walked by the Spirit of God to believe God. Instead of getting angry, instead of giving in to the temptation to become woe is me and think of all the negative consequences, God challenged me to believe him, to believe that even in this, God was working together for good according to his purpose. And so that led me to pray, okay, God, I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to believe that even in the midst of this, the time, the money, the annoyance, the pain, you're working together for good according to your purpose. I'm going to believe it. And then the following verse came to me, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Okay, God, through this, you're going to perform your good purpose and you're going to bring about me being more conformed to the image of Christ. I'm going to trust in you that you're going to bring this about. And I'm going to stop thinking about the negative things that surround it and think about this. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to believe that even in the midst of this, God's going to bring about good, then I better rejoice in it. Like Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. As he wrote that to the Philippians from prison. Rejoice. The Lord is at hand, he goes on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us to think upon things that are true and honorable, and all things that are good, because the God of peace is with us. And I thought, well, this is going to otherwise stress me out. I mean, I got to go to the dentist now like four times in a few weeks and sit there, and that is not pleasant. And the cost, well, even despite that, I'm going to rejoice in God because I believe he's doing good. And that is, for me, the challenge of Lent. It's not really to give up anything. I mean, I could, you know, grip the steering wheel and give up chocolate, sweets, some other food. I could do it. And sometimes that's good because it forces us into a mindset of prayer. But what if I made it my challenge, my Lenten project, to believe God, that even in the midst of things that seem difficult, he's working good for his purpose, conforming me to Christ, giving me peace that I can rejoice. Because what we see in Mark's gospel, just this brief text that took Kirk like 10 seconds to read, we see this glorious event of Jesus' baptism, the kingdom of heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and then what happens? Verse 12, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan and was with the wild animals. The Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted, sent him out among the wild beasts, the dangerous animals, the awful climate of the desert. The Holy Spirit did that? Could it be that the Holy Spirit allows things to happen in our lives for his good purpose? That we would be conformed to Christ? That we would produce fruit in our lives? That we would grow in our faith into the image of Christ? The temptation that Jesus faced, a word that means to be tried, to be tested, to be tempted. Life does that to us, even in the midst of God working in our lives. It's not as though in the midst of God's grace and his Spirit and his kingdom, all of a sudden God leaves us and we face something negative. It's that in the midst of what God is doing, he allows some of these things to happen for his purpose, for his good purpose. So in the midst of these things, in the midst of Lent, in the midst of your own trials, A challenge is to believe that, okay, this trial is happening, but the kingdom of heaven is open to me. And the king of that kingdom is sovereign. And his spirit is still with me. And his voice is speaking to me. So he's allowing this, and he's with me to work good in the midst of it. When Jesus was asked in John 6:28, what is the work that God requires? His answer was, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. To believe enough to stand firm, even in the midst of trials. To believe enough that when you don't see how, you can believe that God is working for his good purpose in your life. Believing that reframed how I approached the dentist's office. I thought, well, someone here must need Jesus. Someone here must need some pastoral care. Maybe I just need to sit there for 2 hours and pray for God's mercy. There must be something God is doing here. It changes our perspective. God gives us, in the midst of his presence, his kingdom, his word, opportunities to experience his grace more and more and to believe more and more. The story of Lazarus is like that. When Lazarus was dead in the tomb for 4 days and then Jesus comes as if he had been absent and thoughtless about the circumstances, yet he was working even from a distance to bring about God's glory. And when he came and he went to the tomb and he began to call Lazarus out and Mary, Lazarus' sister, objected, Jesus said to her in John 11:40, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" In the midst of the most horrible circumstances, Jesus is saying, believe, and you will see God's glory. Now, speaking of myself, I tend to believe this much. I tend to believe this much to get by, to get through the circumstances that I need to get through. But God is calling us to believe this much, that not only can we get through our challenges, but we can experience God's glory. We can be a blessing. We can bring about God's working in other people's lives. We can bring about change in our community, even through our prayers, the nation. He's calling us to believe not just enough to get by in our lives, but for his glory. And we experience stress in our lives that makes us focused on what we have to do. I got to do this, this, and this. And some of it's good things. For example, on Friday, I moved into a new house. That was stressful. It still is stressful. I went from a furnished Airbnb, now all my stuff is in an unfurnished house and it's everywhere. And then I got all the things. I got a letter from North Carolina DMV, they're coming after me. So I got to get my car registered here and all that. It's stressful. And in the midst of that, we become just focused on what we have to do. And then we do other things. So if you saw the Pulse of the Parish video, you know I went to Kingsland, Georgia, about an hour and a half south and had lunch with Mark Eldridge just for some guidance and coaching. Well, it so happens that 2 minutes from the place that we ate was the Humane Society of Camden County. Now, I have a dog in North Carolina, but now I've got a house. I can have a dog here, which is a great idea, right? So on Friday, I moved into my house with my new dog, Colby, who's a little stressed himself. A little foolish, but that just added some more stress to my life. So in the midst of that, I'm thinking, God, help. And God is saying, all is well, and all will be well. Be at peace. Make your request known to me, and I'll give you the peace. He's asking me not to do more, not even to do less. He's asking me to believe him, even in the midst of the stress, even in the midst of the circumstances, to believe and to experience his peace. There's a Christian theologian that I love. His name is Rinero Cantalamessa. He's a Roman Catholic evangelical theologian. And he writes this in a commentary on the book of Romans. He writes that the divine nature of faith is revealed by the fact that it is practically endless. We can never go far enough in believing. It's always possible to believe still more. And God's grace is at work in leading people to an ever deeper and purer faith, to lead them through faith for faith. As much as we can believe God, we shall receive more of the abundant life that he came to give us. It's not by our works, but by our faith and our believing that opens up the door for God to pour out more grace into our lives. So this Lent, I encourage you, in the midst of whatever Lenten disciplines you're doing, to make it a priority to believe God for what he says. Whatever circumstance in your life might be making you stressed, anxious, depressed, despairing, worried, believe God's word for that event. In Isaiah chapter 30, 15, God gives us some instructions for salvation and strength. He says, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength." We experience his salvation by coming to him and resting in his promises and his spirit. We are strengthened and we manifest strength in our lives through our quiet trust of him, not through us being anxious and worried and angry, but through our quiet trust of him, we shall experience his strength. And as we experience his salvation and his strength, the world experiences the image of Christ, even through us, even through our church right here. And the world is blessed through that, and God's purposes prevail, and we experience his goodness. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved, and you will delight the heart of your Father. Amen.